Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. Pals are Arturo.
Hello everyone.
And Gozugoz.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Tekken Blood Vengeance, a movie from 2011. I chose this one because Bandai Namco just announced that Prime Minister of Poland, Lidia Sobieski, the next DLC character for Tekken 8.
Oh god.
Okay, that wasn't why I chose it in the first place, but that literally just happened, so I thought it'd be funny to mention it.
That's like the worst character in Tekken, conceptually. Because it's like... I have to say it, okay? I have to. It's not a podcast about gaming, it's about anime, but I have to say it. So, she's a character from Poland, and her fighting style is Polish karate. So, like, karate, which is Japanese, taught in Poland. Amazing! Amazing, guys!
So, it's not a bad idea because it's a real person entering the King of the Iron Fist tournament. The problem with it is that you have is that it's Polish karate.
It's just karate.
Should have been Polish Krav Maga.
I don't know what it should have been.
It shouldn't have been.
The only Polish martial art that I am aware of is like Polish saber fencing. And you have characters with swords in Tekken.
The movie was animated by Digital Frontier, the company behind Resident Evil Degeneration, Resident Evil Damnation, and Appleseed, the 2004 movie, not the original 1980s series. Tekken Blood Vengeance currently has a My Anime List score of 6.61. This is based on Tekken 5 and 6, developed by Namco Bandai. This
perfect
movie... The problem is that they changed their name to Bandai Namco, which rolls off the tongue. Namco Bandai, kind of, there's a stumbling block there. It's
a Bamco or...
Wait, no, they changed their name?
Yes, they did.
No.
Yeah,
you just say Bamco, like most people.
Developed by Bamco. This movie takes place between both games, kinda, is technically non-canon. My summary for this is, two people vie for their M cell, but who will find it first? Arturo?
Both Kazuya and Jin are looking for a man named Shin Kamiya, as both their agents work against each other and make contact with the target. But why is the Mishima family after this high school boy?
And Gus?
Tekken Blood Vengeance is a heartwarming story about two girls chasing the same boy and doing martial arts, and then stupid over-the-top bullshit gets in the way.
I love this one.
Well, speaking of over-the-top, we open on a motorcycle driving down the highway when suddenly a truck appears in the way, and the rider, whose leather suit is open to reveal cleavage, stops in front of it. They play chicken and they collide, causing a massive explosion which destroys a section of the bridge, and the motorcyclist does a superhero landing on the road beneath the flaming bridge and takes her helmet off, revealing Nina Williams. And then Anna Williams gets out of the truck. Why are they both completely uninjured?
Well, you see, I have nothing for this one. Psychopower?
Speak of which, I am kind of upset that it wasn't M. Bison in the truck. Williams was about to be isekai'd.
And that's why it was such a wholesome movie.
The two of them fight until about 50 mercenaries appear from out of nowhere surrounding Nina. Nina immediately escapes. Anna tells her many men to stand down because Nina was merely bait. Now they just have to wait for Jin and the Mishima Zaibatsu to make their move.
Machinima? Machinima Zaibatsu.
An alternate universe where a YouTube channel from 20 years ago didn't go out of business. Speaking of that company, we cut out Mishima, not Machinima. We cut over to Jin, who is with Anna in his office. Between scenes, she arrived back at the office. They're looking for a pluripotent stem cell, simply called M, but apparently so is G Corp. Jin winds up sending Anna to Russia, and she reminds him that something will bad should Jin face Kazuya in battle. The end of the world, apparently, our ominous plot thread. As a heck of a coincidence, we then go to see Kazuya in his own office. Anna enters and snaps her fingers, bringing up a file for Shin Kamiya. I don't know how snapping her fingers activated the computer and brought up exactly the right file, but probably psycho power. Concerned that Jin might find out about the kid, Anna assures Kazuya that they're taking measures to ensure that doesn't happen, snapping her fingers again to bring up a file for Ling Xiaoyu. We then get the title, Tekken Blood Vengeance, and come back to Japan, where we find Ling riding a panda at super speed.
Yay, anime!
They race to Mishima Polytechnic High School and damage some bicycles before Ling is confronted by a teacher who immediately expels her, stating that the reason is because she damaged the gym to the tune of 300 grand. That sounds like a lot, but it's only like £1,500, or 7,493,580 Colombian pesos.
Perfect, thank you. I was not sure.
To be fair, that probably is still a substantial amount for a public school, but to make matters worse, Ling is failing in all of her subjects. She tries to argue, but the principal's chair turns around and Anna throws a knife at Ling's face. Ling avoids it, somehow, and asks who Anna is, and she identifies herself as Ling's new counselor.
I once want a counselor that shows so much cleavage.
I want a counselor that throws a knife at my forehead.
You can take that part. I'll take the cleavage part.
Perfect, and then we're both happy.
It goes on to explain that Ling is being transferred to a school in Kyoto with orders to seek out Shin Kamiya. While Ling refuses at first, Anna says a very vague thing about G Corporation, some tournament thwarting Mishima Zaibatsu, which owns the school. Maybe this makes sense to fans of the games, but in any case, she agrees. We cut to Kyogoku Academy, where Ling is being introduced to the class by a very flamboyant teacher. The classroom is empty. All the other kids are apparently busy with school festival. So we cut to that, and Ling walking through the school grounds, talking to herself about her very secret spy plan out loud. She collides with a pink-haired girl wearing normal clothes and not the school uniform. And since she was voiced by Christina V, and we heard Christina V on the Tannoy system a couple of minutes ago asking about a stuffed penguin while Ling was walking, I was slightly confused, especially because later it became clear that Christina V voiced multiple background characters, usually ones within vicinity of the pink-haired girl.
Since I watched an anime, I'm going to be honest with you. One interesting thing is that I'm terrible at anime written voice recognition. I think it's because since I don't know the language, my mind doesn't really focus on their voice as much. So I don't know how it was in the Japanese version or whose voice was what or where. I just draw everything from context on the subtitles.
That's fair. I'm a fan of Christina V. She's a voice in the Neptunia games. A fan whenever she crops up. Just, she doesn't have much range.
To me it was jarring because in Tekken games, each character speaks their own language, so you just need a single voice actor that for each character, right? And here it's like both in Japanese and in English, it's like an entirely new cast, and I found it jarring.
I hadn't even realized that they might be different actors to in the games. Well, Pink Hair leaves and Ling continues her searching for Shin. Meanwhile, on the roof above Ling, Shin is about to jump. And then he does. Ling manages to catch him, having been alerted by his shoe hitting her some 10 seconds before the rest of him would have. And he says that he slipped and walks away. Ling lets him go, looking up in time to see Pink Hair looking down, and for a second I thought maybe she pushed him. But the to converse on the roof where Pink... eventually we get her name. It's Alyssa Bosconovich. Alyssa says that Shin jumped off the roof another time and landed on her. So I'm wondering, is he doing this on purpose?
You know how it goes. You trip and you fall on a woman's vagina. And that's how babies are made.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that lesson in anatomy.
Yeah, right? It's like, I remember thinking it's an intentional thing, but no, it turns out it's just purely accidental. Shin's just trying to make it on purpose.
Question, what's a vagina?
Some people are born with one, some people aren't born with one. Speaking of vaginas, we cut to the boys' dorm, where Ling is breaking into Shin's room.
Yay, anime!
She finds a photograph proving that Shin went to her old school and was schoolmates with Jin. Another photo hidden behind the first shows Shin with some others wearing a lanyard that says 78M. She peeps on Shin in the shower, spotting a mid-2000s tribal tattoo on his arm, but is interrupted by the arrival of Alyssa, so grabs her and runs off. Shin watches them leave via monitor in the shower, and someone else is in the shower, in the shower room, and congratulates him for playing the girls off of one another. Some distance away, Ling pulls Alyssa into an alleyway and says that she was just returning an item, a pin that she'd found after Shin slipped. On second thought, she didn't actually show the pin, she just said returning something, but she could have proven it. Alyssa, however, says that she was there because she has a crush on Shin and goes there every night to check on him. And then she asks Ling again why she was there, even though she just told her. And then threatens to call the police in America for being a voyeur. The phone number for the police in Japan is 110, and we see on Alyssa's phone that she dialed 911.
No, that is so funny.
They are in Kyoto. I wasn't aware of
that. No, that's such an interesting detail. Thank you for sharing that.
Anyway, Ling says that she also has a crush on Shin, and so Alyssa declares that they are rivals. Later, Ling returns the pin to Anna and asks for the true reason that she was chosen for the mission. So Anna uses a computer hidden inside a kettle of boiling water to send Ling's phone a website link. Like, that was unnecessarily complex.
Honestly, I was so shocked when that happened. I was like, wait, did I fall asleep while watching this? What is happening?
The news story says that 40 students, 2 years Ling's senior, had gone missing from her school sometime in the past. It was unspecific, and Shin was the only survivor. Ling reasons that Jin might come looking for Shin, which makes Anna laugh for some reason, saying that the kid is clearly the right person for the job. For some reason, we cut to a scene with the flamboyant teacher talking about a castle to literally nobody in the classroom, and instead cut to a different classroom, where Alyssa is being quite pushy to go on a date with Shin, but as soon as he sees Ling, he runs to her and says that she agreed to go home with him and drags her off. They hide around a corner until Alyssa walks off, and then Ling shows him the badge that she found and reveals that they went to the same school, so they go to the roof. He tries to brush her off, saying that he wasn't one of the kidnapped students, so she clumsily mentions the hidden photo. He changes the subject, not pressing for details on how she knows about the photo, changing the subject to Jin. And Ling reveals that she used to know him, and then he gets teenage angst deep about things fading to dust and blah, 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 blah. Alyssa turns up, making Shin run off. We cut to a park with cicadas chirping their bloody little heads off, where Ling is with Alyssa and her panda. It's nice that she got to take him to Kyoto as well. Alyssa starts having a breakdown because of how inept she's been at flirting with Shin, so Ling changes the subject to losing her friend some time ago. Alyssa decides that she had to win the festival popularity contest to win Shin's heart, based on what Ling said. Somehow. So we cut to the festival where the contest is, funnily enough, about to begin. Since everyone is recording their popularity contest videos live in the AV room, they watch Shin recording his, where he's suddenly attacked. Ling races to the AV room and breaks in, discovering that the videos weren't being recorded live after all. It probably should have been a big giveaway because nobody else was waiting for their turn. What was Shin the only person entering this damn contest? Alyssa's personality changes as she speaks without opening her mouth, seeming to communicate with someone and deciding that the G Corporation has kidnapped Shin, so she starts attacking Ling and winds up kicking her through a fourth floor window into a dumpster. Alyssa leaves and Ling somehow survives, so she returns to Anna and discovers that Alyssa was imported like an item, not a person. Time passes and Ling faces off against Alyssa, having somehow sent her a message of where and when to meet up, and they fight until Ling kicks off Alyssa's head, revealing her to be a robot.
I mean, I wasn't shocked by her being a robot at this point, but I was shocked at this decapitation. I think, so we've been running unexpected nudity. I think it's time we run unexpected gore.
Unexpected decapitation.
I knew about Alyssa beforehand, so I was just waiting for her to take her head off and for it to explode. I think if I saw that for the first time, I might have been shocked, but I kind of got used to it over the years.
That's fair.
It's just something she does. I'm just still trying to figure out how she regrows her head. And like,
yeah, such a good point. It's just, you know, then suddenly her head's back on.
And retains her consciousness.
Well, just because your brain's in your head doesn't mean her brain is. Or maybe it's backed up on the cloud. But yeah, speaking of her head, the head explodes when Ling catches it, and the body keeps on coming, this time with dual chainsaws and a bat head, which, yeah, just pops out of nowhere. Alyssa kicks Ling's ass before Anna arrives and blows up a nearby building with a dozen mercenaries. They attempt to capture Alyssa, but Ling steps in to defend her, and then her panda arrives and helps them escape at super speed, which is augmented by robot Alyssa's boosters. So at least that
anime
made sense.
That was magical.
Later, as the trio cower in the bushes from G-Corp mercs, the flamboyant teacher, who's named as Mr. Lee, jogs past and spots them, taking them back to his massive mansion.
By the way, that character, the teacher, was in the Tekken anime that we did watch.
I did not remember him.
Yeah, that's Lee Chao-Lan, and he's much more sinister in the anime that we watched. I can't honestly remember what his character is in the games, but I love him in this.
He leaves the girls and Panda in the guest room, and Ling removes the bullets from Alyssa's back, the skin of which heals almost immediately, which shows that she has some self-repairing ability, at least.
Well, actually, that explains the head regrowing.
Yeah, but so quickly.
It's true.
As they discuss how little information they had both been given about their missions. We cut to Nina on the phone with Jin, who was behind the idea to use an AI, which Nina had warned against. Person in charge of a big company wanted to use AI against a device. Could never happen in the real world.
Topical!
Back at Ling's former school, she and Alyssa break in and somehow wind up in an underground section. It's an extensive facility beneath this school. It's like, yeah, now we're down here. Apparently the computers have been wiped, so they somehow find a records room with hard copies of everything and use the clue of 78M, you know, from the photograph, to locate a random folder. And Alyssa scans a photo inside the folder and finds that the word mutare had been written on a chalkboard and rubbed off. This leads them to the conclusion that Shin survived the experiments because he's a mutant. Someone call the X-Men. A signature at the bottom of a document is Heihachi Mishima's. So Ling reasons that Heihachi is who grabbed Shin and runs off. She runs upstairs to the principal's office, and once there, Ling explains to Alyssa that Heihachi is dead, killed by Kazuya 3 years ago. So why did she just say, Heihachi has Shin?
Because Heihachi never dies.
I mean, we know that, but how does she know that?
Because she's been around since Tekken 3.
Oh, fair enough. Wait, that's only two games at this point.
Yeah, and Heihachi died in Tekken 3, Tekken 4, Tekken 5.
Okay, I get it.
Actually, I'm not sure if he was in Tekken 3, but Tekken 4, definitely.
We cut to Ling in the shower, and her phone has a message from Lei saying that Heihachi didn't die in an explosion. Ling leaves the shower and finds Alyssa and Panda watching cartoons, and Alyssa then says that they can stop the Mishima family war. We don't hear anyone think anyone's inner thoughts, but we see the results of their inner thoughts. Suddenly, they make decisions based on very little evidence and just seemingly out of nowhere. A short distance away, Anna rocks up with mercs, ready to storm the mansion. Back in the mansion, Ling is really cross about the Mishima's fighting, but cools down when Alyssa worries that she's destined to fight her own father. Ling reassures her, then nuzzles up to her, saying that she used to do the same thing to her fridge. Nuzzle up to it, not.
I'm pretty sure this is robot cyst to an extent. Oh, you have mechanical parts, you're basically my fridge.
Alyssa connects to the internet and discovers a potential location where Shin is being held, Kyoto Castle. Anna and her mercs break in and they shoot the bed, but discover only pillows under the covers. Suddenly, a silent helicopter outside stops being silent and drops Mecha onto the balcony, which take aim at the mercs. Nina enters and faces off against her sister. Elsewhere, Ling and Alyssa are flying to Kyoto Castle. That's why they weren't in the bed. And they break through a door to immediately find Shin, guarded by mercs, who retreat as soon as the girls move. Shin congratulates them for luring them here and says that the real bait was his tattoo. I have no idea what the hell any of that means. Like, were they supposed to think he was the bait, or they were the bait, or... suddenly another wall bursts open, and Jin enters. And then a third wall bursts open, reveal Kazuya. They posture with vaguely homoerotic threats before the final wall lifts slowly open. No, this one didn't explode. I was kind of disappointed. It reveals Heihachi. Surprise, he is alive. Flanked by mercs, and he says that Shin was merely a pawn to get his son and grandson there. Shin, in turn, reveals that this was his plan all along, to get close to Heihachi. He powers up and gives Heihachi a full force punch, and it literally does nothing. And then Shin gets his ass beaten. Heihachi goes on to explain that he created the M gene to manipulate Jin and Kazuya into arriving here at this moment, and honestly, this was exhausting. Plans within plots within enigmas within plans within schemes within bullshit.
I double-crossed you because you double-crossed me, and while we were double-crossing each other, your son was double-crossing you. Sort of something like that.
Meanwhile, I was triple-crossing everyone.
Basically.
Anyway, Shin dies for some reason and tells Jin that it's up to him now. I'm immortal! And then immediately dies. Okay, sure, whatever. The three Mishima men begin fighting, exploding the top of the castle, and throwing Ling outside. Alyssa catches her as she falls, and then we cut back to the fight. Boy, what a fight it was. The fight takes the trio down through at least 400 floors, with Heihachi finally gaining the upper hand. But no, Jin was playing possum, and punches him through a thick stone wall, and Heihachi falls into an abyss. Jin and Kazuya then fight, with the latter assuming his demon form. Ling tries to step in, but Alyssa stops her and steps in herself until Jin orders her to turn off and she falls over. It's kind of funny.
I really like that part where he was like, Alyssa, turn off, and she's like, bonk, and then bah. It was really funny how it just immediately listened. I also didn't expect voice commands to work directly, because weren't they controlling her through like a device or something?
Yeah, I think that was remotely turning on and off her Wi-Fi.
Oh, gee.
Which kind of begs the question, how how do you turn her Wi-Fi back on if she doesn't have a Wi-Fi connection?
No. Alyssa, turn on. Oh, no. I did not plan this for it.
Kazuya steps on her, snapping her in half. And then Jin also turns into a devil form and the two resume combat. Though Kazuya clearly has more control and Jin's thrashing around with laser beam breath brings the castle down almost around Ling's ears. Jin then attains his final form, a different type of the devil form. I didn't know there were like two versions of it. Devil form and devil form 2. Then wipes floor with Kazuya, sending him into the same abyss as Heihachi. Back at the mansion, the mercs defeated, the mechs are destroyed, and the Williams sisters are beaten three ways from Sunday. Anna somehow manages to come out on top, because she's the only one left awake, and tells one of her men, who was waiting outside for some reason, to get Nina some help, to help prolong her humiliation. Mr. Lee shows his face to ask why she was sparing Nina, even though he clearly heard Anna talking. And when she repeats herself, he gives her a thumbs up.
I have to say, at this point, I was really confused because, you know, everyone had fallen into the abyss of the depths of hell. And we still have 15 minutes to go, and I was like, oh no, what's going to happen now? It was a nice break when Mr. Lee pops up and the entire wall just breaks down after he collapsed them.
Yeah, I thought that was great. This used to be my favorite house. Thish! Just more destruction. Back at Kyoto Castle, Ling is crying over a deactivated Alyssa, and Jin gives her a pep talk, kinda. He says that he's ready to face any future opponent. So Heihachi comes back, breaks out a casket that contains some spirits or something, and turns Kyoto Castle into a giant mannequin. Or a mannequin made of mannequins called Mokujin, I think.
Yep, that's what it was.
Okay, great. I figured I'd get an answer from our Tekken expert.
At this point, I was like, oh, I just completely lost flow of what was happening. Suddenly the castle was a monster and the grandfather was alive for the 58th time. I'm said to think he was the immortal one and Shen was just, you know, a red herring.
For the talk of being him being immortal, he died pretty easily.
Heihachi controls the mannequin from within, slaps Jin away, and then steps on Ling. But she's saved by Panda.
Honestly, at this point, Panda's just the MVP of the entire movie. Like, nothing would have transpired if Panda wasn't around.
I mean, yeah, Ling would have been late for school in the first place.
Yeah, and then even if she would have died along with Alyssa in the first fight that they had, and now this.
Deus Ex Panda.
Yeah, I feel like Panda is overpowered, but is holding back or just lazy. Just wants to hang out and watch cartoons.
Panda used up all of his strength running to school.
I'm pretty sure it's been a couple of these since then. How long does it take a panda to get better?
It was a long way to school.
I wonder if Panda is immortal.
I wonder who is not immortal.
I mean, that's a good point. You have things exploding and Xiaoyu's in the face just entirely, and she's just unscathed. Alyssa gets turned off. She basically has none of the limbs at the end of the thing, and she's still talking. So, what? Like, I guess Shin was the only mortal one, and that's what made him unique.
Maybe he meant that's immortal.
I'm immortal. Oh my god.
I'm mortal. Everyone is immortal. Only I'm mortal. I want to stop being mortal. That's why he was so mad.
That's why it's called the M gene. It's the mortal gene.
All they want to do is figure out how to die.
I mean, that is Heihachi's whole thing, isn't it?
That's why he gets killed all the time and then comes back like, fuck, again?
Okay, we're nearly done with this movie. So I think the spirit inside the mannequin bits tries to fight back against Heihachi's control, but he reasserts command.
Yeah, I felt like that was completely pointless. Like, we Mokujin, we see that there's true friendship down there somewhere and we don't want to do it. And Heihachi's just like, fuck off! You're doing it! And that's the end of it.
And then they do it, yeah. We never hear from the spirit again. Frustrated at this situation, Ling says that humans should disappear and cries, and one of her tears short-circuits Alyssa. Alyssa fires both of her fists at the mannequin, and that was some awesome animation there. When she was firing them.
You did not just skip the best line in this entire movie.
I did. Go on.
She does this after saying, as your refrigerator, I promise to do my best. Which, by the way, implies that I was wrong and it's not racist. And I would like to publicly apologize for that.
The fists fly into the mannequin and explode inside of it, distracting Heihachi. Rather than, you know, injuring him, long enough for Jin to slice the mannequin in half. With a laser, I should add. later, a few minutes, whatever. It's the time of day has changed because it's brighter. Ling is holding the again deactivated body of Alyssa, which is, you know, missing legs because hips got crushed by Devil, and missing arms because they flew off into the giant mannequin. And then Jin just floats down and reactivates Alyssa and flies off. And then we get the credits. But that's not the end, because there's a mid-credit sequence of Ling, Alyssa, and Panda at a park. Ling suggests that the world be turned into a theme park, so Alyssa says she'll find a weakness in the Devil gene. What? How does I want the world to be a theme park equate to, oh, so I'll use all my knowledge of fight data to find a weakness in the Devil gene?
Well, you can't have a theme park if there's demons walking around.
Demon theme park.
They mentioned the Tekken tournament, but that wasn't mentioned in anywhere else in this film. Like, it requires you to have prior knowledge of the franchise.
The Tekken tournament is mentioned by Anna when she's recruiting Ling.
Oh, then I'm completely wrong.
Yes, it's mentioned maybe three times throughout this whole thing. But yeah, that actually is my next note. Ling seemingly ignores the Devil Gene thing and starts thinking about the Tekken tournament and that they should both enter it.
I mean, I think the implication is that they're gonna beat them in the Tekken tournament, but like, we didn't get enough information about the tournament to, like, again, unless you have prior knowledge, you won't connect all those things together.
And then we get the full credits and not very good music. So, was it a good adaptation?
It was okay.
What makes you say that, Tekken, local Tekken expert?
I mean, there was some... There was good characterization. There was, good mix of grounded stuff and some over-the-top events. But there wasn't enough, like, the final event was like over the top gigantic battle and not a fist fight, which it should have been. Like, the fighting and martial arts were cool, but there wasn't enough of it.
Okay, I didn't think that the story in Tekken was so deep, I'll be honest. Like, I figured they just go to a fighting tournament and wind up fighting Heihachi or something.
That is what happened in the first one we watched, right? Where they scream Tekken 3 times.
Yes, because of your Tekken. Tekken! Tekken!
Yeah, basically.
So, is it a Yata, a Nani, or a Baka Atura?
I'm going to have to be honest here. For me, this was a Yata. I didn't expect to like it. And there were a lot of scenes where it felt weird because you follow the story of, like, Xiaoyu and Elisa more often than not. But that's also what's kind of charming about it. You don't have to be with Jin or the father. I forgot his name. I know his name. I forgot the pronunciation. But you don't have to. You don't follow, like, the characters that are the face of Tekken. And the fights were very interesting. And I was kind of invested in the storyline. So I think for me, this is a surprisingly young time. If not for that, then just because of the refrigerator line.
And goes?
I think overall it's Yata. Like, it's not that cut and dry, but I think it ends up on more on the positive side.
I definitely have to agree. Like, for me as a Tekken newcomer, because I've been meaning to get into fighting games and I've been meaning to get into, like, their story modes and all that, I felt this was easy to digest. And I'm pretty sure I missed a lot of lines. And I'm pretty sure, you know, maybe if you like Tekken, it'll be less enjoyable. But for me, not knowing anything about Tekken, this is refreshing and a bit different from what I expected it to be.
Right, for me, it is a Yata. Apart from the ending with the giant mannequin, all of the action was really, really good. Like, the first fight really surprised me with how fluid it was. All the action was really, really well choreographed.
Right? It's the first time in a fighting anime that we've watched that I'm like, that was a good fight. And it happened continuously, and I was smitten by these fights.
My one issue was that the lip flaps were distracting as hell, which is weird because it came out in America like 2 months before it came out in Japan.
Oh, you mean lip sync?
Yes.
To be honest, lip movement was kind of distracting to me in general, not because of the lip syncing specifically. Something about that animation. But I couldn't tell you more.
Okay, so does it deserve its My Animalist score of 6.61?
Honestly, when I found out it had a 6.61 score, I was quite shocked. Because it seemed quite small for how much I actually enjoyed it. Especially because we've watched it. By this point, I feel like we're all starting to become fighting anime OVA experts. Thanks to Street Fighter's egregious amount of fighting anime, adaptations. But this one definitely felt like one of the more well-fleshed out ones. And the one that, it definitely doesn't, like, the fights are really cool, but it's not only about fighting and only about the tournament. So I was really shocked to find that out. I'm pretty sure it's just because I'm not a fan of Tekken.
No, I mean, it feels like a good adaptation of that kind of game. Again, it should be like a small story with a few characters and not trying to cram in as much as possible. Or do a small story but badly, like the Street Fighter Alpha.
Personally, I'd even go as high as an 8 with this.
Right?
It definitely is. Because 5, that'd be average, right? 10, naturally. Lean, 1, worst, 5, average. So this is above average, especially for all the action. The quality of the action, not the fact that there was a lot of action.
Maybe that's one of the things, is that there wasn't a lot of action, but I think I definitely preferred the fewer sequences in favor of the quality of the ones we actually got, which was, for me, the selling point of this movie.
Okay, that about brings us to the end. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Gozgoz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, as on social media, or listening to the Grimcast podcast. Until next time, game on.